We turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 86. And we shall read again verses 6 and 7. Psalm 86, verses 6 and 7. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Amen. You will notice the title which is affixed to this psalm, a prayer of David. All the psalms are praises, some of which contain prayers. This one is more a prayer which contains praises. Prayer is the dominant theme of this psalm, as it is with several others in the book of Psalms. We think of Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, the man of God. Prayer and praise, they do really belong together. We call upon the God whom we adore, the God we worship. And it is never fitting for us to come before our God simply with a list of requests. Do we not always come to him to bless his name, to exalt him? And do we not also come to give thanks for his mercy, and indeed to confess our sin unto him? Let no one think that they might come to God with their demands and never mention their sin unto God, never ask for his pardon. These things belong in our praying, that we adore God, that we thank him, and that we acknowledge we are unworthy to come before him. But we are thankful indeed that he is a sin-pardoning God. We have the access. Well, do we make use of it? And do we make use of it at particular times in our own experience, or perhaps in the experience of the church and the nation, when prayer is so fitting, so necessary, and when prayer is the thing that we should be giving ourselves to, perhaps more than anything? Well, we have in the psalm much encouragement for prayer in difficult times. And our first point then is the occasion of prayer, taking note of the words at the beginning of verse 7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. When you read the scriptures, there are exhortations to pray continually, to always be at prayer. The sense, of course, is to pray as a habit. It is simply not possible to be always engaging in prayer. We have other duties, lawful duties, which we must carry out. But we should always have a mind to pray and a readiness to pray. In Psalm 55, I'll call on God, God will be saved. I'll pray and make a noise at evening, morning, and at noon, and he shall hear my voice. The psalmist then was always seeking God's face whenever he had an opportunity and a need. We have set times for prayer, for worship. The morning, the evening, it is good to keep to those times. But there are also special times. Times which emerge, seasons which make a demand upon us to come to the throne of grace and to call upon God. And the psalmist is referring to such a time. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. Now from those words, it seems to have been a period in his life. And no doubt there were several, many periods in his life, seasons, when prayer became the essential thing. When he had to unburden himself to God. The need was so great, man could not help. But the Lord above, whom David knew, and loved, and served, God was there, and the way was open for him. And so, in the day of his trouble, he called upon God. Not simply at the day of trouble, but the day of David's trouble. And the trouble can be personal. Some matter which has respect to us as individuals. Something concerning our own life, our own walk, our own circumstances. There are so many things. Sickness may come. We may suffer some loss. We may be brought into difficulty, into a low state of mind, a despairing state of mind. It's something which pertains to us. It's something we may find difficult to share with another, but there's always one we can share it with. And we must not hold back. God is willing to listen. You have that at the beginning of the psalm. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. David might have been a great man, but he was just one individual. Thousands, millions on the face of the earth. And today, so many more. Yet each and every one may go to God as an individual, with every hope that God will listen to them as individuals, and to go to a God who knows their every difficulty, the cause of their trouble, the occasion of it, and indeed the way to be relieved from their trouble. We can experience troubles which have to do with loved ones, but they become a trouble also for ourselves. A loved one who is sick, a loved one who is taken away, a loved one who is in any difficulty because of that natural affection, because of those ties that we have and we value in this world. We are affected. We are troubled within because of difficulty that has come to one who is dear to us. And so that might be the day of our trouble also. And we must do the same. Take it to the Lord. Pour out our heart unto God. And we can go further. We can think of the present situation. We can think of the coronavirus and the way it has affected the whole nation. And the church has been caught up in this. And if we have any love for our fellow men, if we have any regard for the Lord's cause, then we will be saying, it is the day of my trouble. I am involved in this. I have a concern at this time. We're still able to meet in God's house. We praise Him for that. His kindness to us in providence. Most of our brethren within our own denomination are not able now to gather in God's house. And they're under other restrictions. And we feel for them. And in our sympathy, we call upon God. In our regard for our nation, we call upon God. And what else can we do? What else should we do? This is the first thing we should always do. In any trouble, call upon God. This trouble may be a lasting one. The day of our trouble may extend to weeks and months. Indeed, it already has. If it continues very much longer, we will have experienced a whole year of the coronavirus and its consequences. And the very extent of it, the length, the duration of it, that has a lesson itself. Why has it remained? Why have the attempts to contain it, to control it, to eradicate it, thus far not succeeded? And we need to understand why it has come. And we've said this often and you've heard it often. It is surely from God. And it is surely in the way of a judgment and a chastisement. And if it has come for that reason, then we cannot expect that man will easily be able to deal with it. Indeed, he may find it altogether impossible. We have a duty to pray that the Lord in His mercy will indeed bless the efforts being made to help the vulnerable, to shield them, to protect the population, even through vaccines and such things. But if we believe, as we do, that the underlying reason why it has come has to do with the state of our land, our sin, unbelief and rebellion, we must address that. And are you addressing it when you pray to God? When you come before the Lord with regard to this matter, do you have in mind that the Lord has a controversy with us? And you find the likes of Daniel in Scripture. Daniel himself may not be personally guilty of the things he mentions in his own prayers, because he's praying on behalf of the nation. He's recognizing that he has a responsibility there, and he loves his land, his people, and he desires their good. Christians are to be like that in whatever land they are placed in God's providence. They have a regard for the welfare of their fellow men. But they're not simply like government, the government of our present day, and all they can think about is our physical welfare, perhaps our mental welfare too. They do not think of the spiritual good of the nation. The church must have that in mind first and foremost, and the Lord's people. and especially when they pray. So here we have an occasion of prayer, a situation that demands prayer, the day of trouble, maybe personal, but it may be more wide and all-embracing than that. The whole nation and the church also in difficulty. Secondly, we have seeking an audience in verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. And he's repeating what he said in the opening verse. He's asking the Lord, Jehovah, his covenant God, and the God of Israel, to give ear to him, to David, and his poor fainting cry, which he is sending up to heaven. Attend to the voice of my supplications. That word, translated supplications, is an interesting one. We find the word supplications in many places in our English Bible. It always seems to have at the heart of it this idea of weakness, especially when it's used in reference to prayer. Supplications coming forth from those who have a weakness. And the weakness we have is not so much physical, but spiritual, moral. It's the weakness, it's the frailty which belongs to man because of sin and the fall. It's the weakness which is in us, even as believers, because of indwelling sin. And in our weakness, we go to the God of our strength, the God who is almighty, all-powerful, and the God who has a strength which is made perfect in the weakness of his people. Supplications suggest a bowing down, a going upon our knees, a humbling of ourselves before God. And do we do that in our praying? Or we must. You do not pray proudly. That would be to be like the Pharisee in the temple, boasting of his own goodness and righteousness and works and deserving, not even making a request of God, except it was that God should think very highly of him. No, our attitude must be that of the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. David says, I am poor and needy. And surely that has a spiritual sense. He wasn't poor and needy as the king of Israel, but he was as a man before God, as a sinner. There upon his knees, he's crying to God, oh, give ear. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. That which comes forth from the depths of my being, from my very soul, out of my weakness, I am in trouble, and I cannot help myself. But he believes that God is both able and willing to send him deliverance, and by his mighty hand to bring him forth out of his difficulty. The God of grace and the God of providence. And the Lord will work according to both to deliver his people out of their trouble. He says, attend to the voice of my supplications. Supplications are often just sighs and perhaps merely groans. That's how the heart, the soul sometimes is. A burden is there. And it's a heavy one. We know that there is a need. We know that there is a great difficulty and one that is utterly beyond us to cope with. But what do we ask in our time of difficulty? We're not sure. We cannot see the way through it. We do not know where it is taking us. But we know the God who is surely in these things and with us in these things as our God and our guide even unto death. And we know the Lord Jesus who even though now at God's right hand is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Our weaknesses, simple weaknesses, or our common weaknesses. And we send up our cry, our sigh, and it has a voice. That is the wonder of it. In the midst of the crying and sighing, there is a discernible voice. There is a plea. There is that which the Lord is able to discern and to know and to recognize as the voice of one of his own children expressing a desire. They're not sure how to do it. They do not feel able, perhaps, to put it into words. But the Lord knows. And the Lord, indeed, bows down his ear. And in his grace, he takes note of the trouble. And indeed, he is most willing to come to the aid of his people. Prayer in public is often something that we value because we learn from it. It may teach us, instruct us in certain truths. A brother who has a good knowledge of Scripture and uses the Scriptures appropriately in prayer, we get a blessing from that. But in the end, prayer must end with request. It must come to that. There must be a burden which we present to God, a desire that we have, a request that we are making of him. We're seeking God. We're seeking his help. An audience with the Most High. That we would have his ear. God is well able to hear us. Our concern ought to be to come before him with reverence and godly fear, to honour his name, but also to make our request in a suitable way, a humble way. Not necessarily with great eloquence, but with a childlike faith and trust and dependence upon him. Surely they are the petitions which his ear will hear. And for more and more of such petitions, if we are his children, well, let us, in our prayers, give evidence of that. Do we not have the spirit of adoption? Do we not, by the spirit of adoption, cry, Abba, Father? That is language which speaks of an intimacy with God, a drawing near to him, even as a people who are near unto him. We're seeking an audience with the king, but we're doing so as princes. And God has made us that. His sons and daughters, and having a place in his palace. Well, to come boldly and reverently, and to come believing that God is the hearer of our prayers. Seeking an audience and then expecting an answer. Verse 7, in the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. It's wonderful how those two things run together. I will call, thou wilt answer. The resolve to pray and to bring the burden to God, and the assurance that in so doing God will hear and God will answer. And perhaps it is the case, more than we realize, that we do not receive blessings from God on occasion, because even as we pray to him, we do not really expect him to grant us what we ask. It is the prayer of faith which receives an answer, and a prayer full of doubt will not receive an answer. That is not to say that our faith must be perfect. If that were so, we would never receive anything from God. But there must be no doubt of God's ability to answer our request. If we go wrong there, we are dishonoring God, and we shall not receive what we ask. And of course, as James tells us, we may ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our own lusts. In other words, we're asking selfishly. We're asking more in terms of our needs in this world, even when God has already met those needs and we want more. And God is good if he denies such requests, because they will not be for our good if we receive them. What should we be seeking first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First and foremost, our spiritual good, our growth in grace, our conformity to Christ. And likewise, for our brethren, God's blessing upon the gospel, for the salvation of sinners. In these things God is glorified, and Jesus Christ is magnified. David had this confidence in his trouble when he called upon God. God would answer him. How did he have that confidence? It belongs to those who are constantly seeking God's face, constantly bringing their needs to him. And when another trouble comes, they are able to look back in their minds, and to remember former occasions when they entered into a difficulty, and they were able on those occasions to pray. And the Lord heard them then. And they reason, well, God has not changed. He never does. And his covenant remains. His covenant with me in his Son. And his love to me has not diminished. And out of that reasoning, there comes that encouragement and that assurance, and even on occasion an utter certainty within, even the moment the prayer has been offered, that the answer is on its way. What a blessing if we are able to pray like that. Well, we believe that David did. A man after God's own heart. Do we not see in that the secret of prayer? Is your heart, is my heart at one with God? Do we think his thoughts after him? Or do we share the same concern? God has a cause in the world. It's dear unto him. He orders everything for its advancement. Is that where our priorities lie? Well, in the next verse, David can say, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. God so often works in his providence and in his grace in answer to the prayers of his people. And that should encourage us. And on the other hand, if the Lord's people are dumb, if they're not pleading at the throne of grace, there will be little perhaps of the Lord's blessing. And at this time in our own nation, is it not the great duty and obligation of the church and the Lord's people to be praying? Well, we must tell the powers that be what the scriptures have to say concerning such a time, a difficulty, an affliction as the coronavirus. They may or they may not listen and respond. But we know that when we speak to God and remind God, as it were, of his own word, his own promises, well, he will not be silent. He will answer. He will bless. And he will do what is beyond the ability and the wisdom of man to do. We see what he says regarding God in verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And when we come to the throne of grace, we should be coming with that view of our God. Holy and righteous, yes. A God who is angry with the sinner, yes. A God who is displeased with a backsliding nation and church, yes. But a God full of compassion, very gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Prayer is our duty at all times, but doubly so in the day of trouble. The way out of the trouble is known to the Lord. It may be altogether unknown by us. And God will show us the way and lead us in it. And God will bring us out of the trouble, whatever it might be, your own trouble, the church's trouble, the nation's trouble. And he will be glorified in it. And may it please him to set his people pray and pleading with a real burden in their hearts and with a confidence in him that at this difficult time, as we humble ourselves and pray, he will indeed come to our aid. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, how weak we are and ignorant and lacking in every grace and unfit for thee, that we would desire by thy blessing to be vessels meet for our master's use and to be such as are given more and more to prayer. And that thou, in thy mercy, would come and deliver our land and other nations likewise from this present affliction. We do acknowledge that we have sinned, we have done wickedly. We do confess that in so many ways we have turned our back upon thee, and that as yet there seems to be no acknowledgement of what we have done, whereby we have offended thee. Touch the hearts of many. Speak to those in power. Show them the solemnity of our time. And remind them, even of the things that they have done and are doing, which are a provocation unto thee, the abominable things which are now permitted and even promoted. And we grieve greatly indeed at the state of the church, so much in the way of false doctrine and impure worship and the world coming in every way. Send deliverance. Bring us forth out of this trouble. And may thy name receive all the praise, the honour, and the glory through Jesus Christ. Amen.